This is the Next Level Running Podcast, brought to you by the expert coaches at Run Doyen, helping runners of all levels crush their goals on race day by matching you with the perfect coach or training plan. Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for joining us here on the Next Level Running Podcast. As always, I'm your host, David Jankowski, here to kick off our January edition of this monthly podcast. I hope everyone's off to a great 2021. It does look like a much more promising year for us in the racing community. With the vaccine coming out and the pandemic hopefully getting under control, fingers crossed there will be some races on the horizon that aren't just virtual. Not that virtual races aren't cool and a good holdover, but I do think a lot of us are starved for the in-person races. Now, with that said, here at Run Doyen, the coaches and I, we thought a lot about, you know, what could help set us up for a good 2021 and some of the things that can really put you in the right direction and help bring your training along so you're ready to go when races do come up. And one of the things that we noticed, you know, across our athletes that is either underutilized or perhaps even poorly utilized is cross training. I think a lot of people don't fully utilize the benefits of cross training as a supplemental addition to their training, and to maybe don't know how to use it properly. So for this episode, I'm joined by one of the experts here at Run Doyen, of course, Michelle Chewins, one of our coaches, who will help walk us through some of the best ways that we can use cross training to supplement our training, what are some different cross training activities that we can do, and some workouts that you can walk through on your own, so that you can start putting this into your training cycle and put you on the path to success in 2021. So with that, I'd like to welcome Michelle Chewins to the Next Level Running Podcast. Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, always good to have another Doyen here with me. I think We always have some good conversations. So I think it should be a good one just based on some of the things that we were able to talk about before we got in and recording. But just to give listeners a bit of a background, I think one of the best places to start here is, you know, what are we talking about when we talk about cross training? So maybe you could lay out some of the, like, I guess, a baseline definition, what we're talking about and what we're not talking about when we talk about cross training, at least in this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. So, I think a lot of people have different, explanations of what cross training is, but for me, it's ways to gain fitness or recover when you're not able to run. So I'm not including like strength training, med ball stuff, any of that kind of, or agility in this category. This is more like, you know, if you can't run and we need to swim, or if we're just needing extra recovery, just another way to either gain fitness or recover if you're not able to kind of do it on land.
No, and I think that's a good differentiation. And I agree with you completely. When I think cross training, and two, when I use this with athletes that I'm working with, I'm not talking about core strength training, stability, drills. Those are separate and they have their place, but cross training is something very specific. It's more like a, like you said, a supplement to running, or like a quasi running type activity. And
yeah,
that kind of brings me into, you know, where would you use cross training? What kind of things would it be used for?
Yeah. So obviously it could be used for so many different things. I would say the major things I would use it for is if someone can't run at all, like if they have a stress fracture or something, and once they're cleared to cross train or have some activity, obviously we start with various levels of cross training before they're able to start running again. So coming back from an injury, that can also be coupled with building, you know, fitness for new mileage. So getting ready for when we are going to be able to start running again, and then building that mileage. Injury avoidance. So, you know, maybe you're someone that runs 6 days a week rather than seven. So maybe that seventh day is a cross train day, just a supplement for injury for people that are injury prone. So maybe like your double runs, you can't run, but maybe we could swim or bike or something like that. And then obviously for people that maybe you're traveling and not really in a safe location, need to cross train rather than run, or if it's snowy, icy, so extreme weather conditions would just be another reason why we would probably be cross training.
And I think those are some good general categories. I think, like we talked about a little bit before, I think that kind of fits well into the four general buckets. We could call that, like, injury could be one of those buckets, which is, like you said, whether it's recovering from an injury, so I'm currently injured and trying to maintain fitness or gain fitness even, or I'm trying to avoid an injury. I'm injury prone or I have one coming on. The second bucket being a supplemental something. So either to supplement mileage because maybe you're, like you said, injury prone and you're still trying to get high mileage, but you need to do it in a way that's low impact. Or two, you're trying to build to new mileage. And then the third bucket there being extreme conditions, whether that's you're traveling someplace that's not safe, like you said, or two, the weather just isn't going to help you out.
I'm not going to do it. and I don't have that problem in Mississippi.
No. The heat's never that bad.
Well, no, you're right. The heat is pretty awful in the summer. So
that's the thing. The humidity always gets to me, and that'll put me inside because I'm a sweater, and just staying hydrated is a challenge. But then the fourth bucket I would even add is just general recovery days. So if you need something to flush out your legs, and this would be, I'm thinking something. A lot of times when we think cross training, we're thinking things that are very high intensity or relatively high intensity, more like a regular, at least an easy day run or harder. And these I'm thinking is something more so just to flush out your legs and actually get you moving, maybe on an off day. And so those are kind of the four ways I would look at cross training. And it sounds like that's basically what you described as well. So we're on the same page there. Do you have any specific go-to activities for cross training, and how do you fit each of those into those different buckets in an athlete's training cycle?
Yeah. So it's interesting because when I first started coaching, I had this like all running, no cross training mentality, whereas like I only viewed cross training as like if you're hurt. So if you're hurt and you're coming back, that's when you're cross training. But I had a female athlete who's a 10K runner and she had a herniated disc, and it was misdiagnosed for the longest time. So she wasn't really able to run more than like 50 miles a week, but most of our other 10K runners at the time were running around 70. So we were trying to figure out, like, I had no choice. We had to supplement with cross training. Mm-hmm. So, but it ended up working out really well. And even when she was kind of over her herniated, like she always had it, but it got a lot better and she wasn't in pain, we still kind of, maybe we brought her to 60 miles, but everything else was just cross training. So for someone like that, where they're able to run, but we're kind of using it as a supplement, she would, on her one off day a week, you know, she would do a 50-minute cross train, not like necessarily a workout, but just getting a good effort in. And then all of her like secondary runs. So if we had a workout in the morning and everyone else had a double run, hers would be like a 30-minute cross train. So hers was definitely in that category of like supplement. So we're not able to run the mileage that we want, but we do definitely need the volume. So, but not necessarily like going hammering, you know, on the bike or in the pool. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my first look into like cross training from something other than, from the aspect other than just like you're injured, you need to get back to running kind of mindset.
Within that, you mentioned some of the structure that you gave to that athlete, one time per week, which was kind of her off day where she would cross train. And then two, on her second runs, any days that you were doubling, you did the 30-minute sessions. Could you break down what those sessions look like? Because you said they weren't really high intensity, but at the same time, they're not just like just spinning your legs. So could you kind of give us a sense of what those looked like and what you were trying to accomplish in those?
For sure. So on the days where we were like, she was going out for her second workout of the day, those were definitely more just recovery. So typically was on the bike, and what, you know, she would, I didn't really necessarily give her like a certain heart rate to hit her or anything like that. But knowing this athlete, I knew that she would, going easy for her kind of wasn't even really an option. So I knew she would at least get some sort of a workout in. The Saturday where she wouldn't run, that would be a swim, and that would be more of like an actual workout, but not necessarily like, you know, we would long run the next day, so we couldn't go too hard. But, you know, I would give her an actual workout to do so that she was actually, I knew that she would actually be getting like, you know, aerobic fitness from it.
As we're looking at that, let's break down some of the different things that you can use for cross training, and then we can break down what some of the workouts are that are relevant for each of those types. So maybe could you list a handful of things that you've used as good cross training, I guess, avenues, methods?
For sure. So probably the two that I lean towards the most are swimming and biking. Swimming could be a combination of aqua jogging and swimming as well. I think it just kind of depends on the athlete and their swimming skills. some people, I think you ask to swim and they might drown. So biking, swimming / aqua jogging. Rowing is obviously another option. I think it's harder not knowing what someone's, what access to different equipment they have, but pretty much everyone can get access to a bike, which is probably the easiest, most available cross-training tool. And then swimming, elliptical, obviously. And then if we're getting more, I'm not sure if you would agree or disagree, but the Alter G is obviously like higher end. some people view that as cross training, some people don't. So for us it is, but later on, like return to run protocol type.
Yeah. So, well, I think there are a handful in there that may be new to a lot of listeners. So I think swimming is pretty straightforward. Usually we're thinking like forward crawl or like a backstroke or something like that. And you can do any variation of normal swimming. But aqua jogging may be somewhat new to a lot of people. Could you walk us through aqua jogging?
Yeah. So aqua jogging is pretty much exactly what its name is. Whether you're wearing like a belt that kind of keeps you afloated in the water, or you're holding yourself up, but you're simulating running in the pool. So I like that for like if you're actually trying to simulate the workout. Maybe you have one athlete that's out and, you know, the rest of the group is on the track doing a workout. This one person isn't. I'll give them that same workout in like a fartlek form in the pool. So they're still getting that workout in, but they're not necessarily, you know, doing it on the track or on the trails or like that. But obviously you're using a lot of, you know, the same muscles when you're aqua jogging. You're just not getting the same pounding on your feet. So obviously it's a good supplement for sure.
And that's, you know, you mentioned a good point there that I really like, which is when you're aqua jogging, you are using a lot of the similar muscles to when you're running. And I think that's one thing that's really useful about aqua jogging, not just like you said, for somebody who's a poor swimmer and it's a little bit more accessible, then you're just bobbing around in the deep end as opposed to just trying to push all the water out of the way and run. But aqua jogging, I think, can be really interesting in that sense. And it's a good way to, like you said, it's kind of, you just try to run in place in the pool. Don't lean forward too much. Try to be as straight up and straight down as possible. You're barely going to be moving, and it's going to be annoying at first until you get the hang of it, but just run in place. I found another helpful way to make it tougher is to not use your arms, to put your hands behind your back, whether you're using the belt or not. Using the belt is going to be tougher than you think. So it there in case. And then, like you said, I think incorporating workouts into it to kind of keep your mind busy, whether those are fartleks or intervals or things like that, even if you're not getting up really, really high. I think another tough thing when you're swimming is heart rate. And I think that's something we could talk about even more later. But how do you address the fact that water continues to cool you down while you're in the pool? And what's kind of the goal or sweet spot for those cross-training activities when you're in the pool?
Yeah. When we are doing a swimming workout, so I have a handful of workouts that I've actually got from an athlete that ended up going on to do triathlons. So those have been like very difficult for anyone that I've given them to. Getting their heart rate up hasn't ever been an issue when I give them one of those workouts, just because the toughness of the workout. But I think you're getting more out of, you know, whether you're doing like a 200 meter sprint or a broken sprint rather than just like swimming freestyle for 40 minutes, that's not going to get your heart rate up as much as maybe actually doing like a specific workout where you're getting rest, you're doing a sprint, you're doing a moderate effort interval, something like that, where you're able to like kind of get your heart rate up and whatnot.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. And I think the one thing I do is I try to throw the heart rate kind of out the window when I'm in the pool. Because with the water cooling you down as much as it does, the heart rate just won't get up. So you can't, it's harder to, I guess the metrics that if you use heart rate that you would use when you're on the elliptical or the bike or running aren't going to work as well. You're probably going to lose 20 to 30 beats per minute just because the water is continuing to cool you down. That doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. I mean, if you do a good aqua jogging session, you'll get out of the pool and your legs will feel like jelly. But I think that's just something that's worth raising with people, because I think you get that bad expectation that I'm not getting a workout in because my heart rate's 120. And really, you're kicking your own butt.
And then you're just like, I mean, if you're cross training, I guess depending on why you're cross training, you're probably already feeling not great because you'd rather be running. So then you're worrying about your heart rate, and then you're just making it a really terrible experience.
Yeah.
When really, like, the whole point is just getting in, you know, extra volume so that, like, you're gaining a little fitness or you're recovering and not being so much of a type A, like, numbers person, you know, and driving yourself insane. Which is also, like, when I'm a lot of the ways that I will choose what someone does is really based on, like, what they're good at and what they like doing. Because if you hate the pool, you're not going to be excited to be getting after it, you know, unless you love biking. So if you love biking, like, let's take advantage of that, because you're probably going to get a better workout in, especially if, like, you're coming back from an injury, you're already kind of bummed that you're not running. But that's, like, the psychological part of cross training, because it can get pretty daunting if you're doing it.
Monotonous. Absolutely. And a lot of times too, I think when we incorporate cross training, it's a longer duration than running, because running is such a much more intense workout. Even an easy day running is far more intense than biking. And that's why when we talk about the elite cyclists, they cycle for hours a day, and the elite runners, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, but not nearly to the extent and the volume that cyclists put in. And a lot of it is just the impact that you're putting on your body as a runner, compared to a lot of those other low impact activities, whatever they may be, elliptical, biking, swimming, whatever. Let's keep going back to, I think, another one that people may not be as familiar with that you mentioned. So we mentioned the swimming, aqua jogging, biking, which I think everyone knows, elliptical as well, rowing machines, and then two, the Altergy you mentioned.
Yes.
So maybe walk us through the Altergy.
So, I am a pretty big believer. I love the Altergy, but I don't love it as, like, an addition, like, instead of running, like, I'm going to use the Altergy today, because running, even at 90%, it's like, you might as well just run outside, you know? But we here, at least at Ole Miss and various places that I've coached at, and with the athletes I've coached at Rundoyan, if people had access to an Altergy, I would use it if they're coming back to running after an injury. So maybe we're starting with biking and swimming workouts, you know, advancing to aqua jogging, and then getting on an Altergy before, you know, being able to run on land. But obviously not a lot of people have access to that. Yep. And even if they can get access to it, sometimes they have to pay, and it's like, it's a very expensive, form of cross training, but can be super useful, especially for those people that are trying to get back to running. I don't love using it as, like, say we're running 80 miles per week and 10 of it are on, you know, the Altergy. It's like, I don't count those 10 extra miles, but I know some people probably would disagree with me. I'm not sure what your opinion is on that.
No, that might be a good kind of offshoot that we could talk about really quickly and then kind of jump back in, which is how do you count cross training miles in a running log in training? What do you do for that? I know a lot of people use different things, and what you just said is for Altergy, you don't count it. But a lot of people like to have a track of that in their training. So how can they keep track of that, or how would you suggest utilizing those miles and monitoring those?
Yeah, I would say instead of using it, like recording it, in regards to miles, I would say, because a lot of people don't even record miles as mileage. Like, some people go by minutes. So, like, I'm running X amount of minutes per week. So that's how I would kind of view cross training. So, you know, whether your goal is to run 50 miles a week or 60, but you have an additional goal of, you know, 90 to 130 minutes per week of cross training, and logging those separate, you know, we're not going to count those cross training minutes as miles, but, you know, they're still valuable. So maybe logging it is just like, and then total minutes for the week. So, like, this is what mileage I hit, but you know, my total minutes of exercise, quality exercise was X. That's how I would record it. And I would look at those two things differently. Cause obviously like the mileage outside versus, you know, the work you put in, whether it be pool, bike, it is different. Obviously both are valuable, but I wouldn't be able to count them as all as mileage.
Yeah, I understand. And I agree with you. I tend to try to separate them in my running log too. And with my athletes mm-hmm. so that cause it is a little different. It's not quite the same thing. But I have had a few athletes who are really interested in, well, how does this convert into mileage? How does this look if I'm trying to, like, especially when we're talking about supplementing to build new mileage, and they're trying to get mm-hmm. a sense of maybe what I'm ready for. And for those people, what I try to do is give them at least an estimate. We'll call these cross-training mm-hmm. miles, but we'll put them in as miles as on a separate line, but yeah. as something just to give a sense as to what kind of mileage you were working toward. And I try to work on a formula with that, and it's based on what their easy day pace is. So easy day pace plus about 2 minutes. And then, so let's say you're a 7 minute mile pace is your easy day pace. So 9 minute miles cross training gives you
one running mile.
I don't think that's quite fair, but at least it's something, and it yeah. gives them something that, you know, this is probably close to equivalent for as I'm trying to build new miles, or if I'm really mm-hmm. worried, if I'm keeping mileage up and fitness up when I'm injured and cross training is all I can do. That's one thing I've used. I don't know if all coaches agree with that, but it's kind of like a derivative of the old, what was it? Badger miles from the University of Wisconsin stuff that they were doing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a cool formula actually. Cause if anything, it gives them something to work for. Like they know, okay, well, this is counting for this. I've actually never really looked at it like that before, like thought of
yeah,
it, like actually calculating or finding a way to figure out how many miles it would be, you know, or some sort of equivalent.
Yeah. I like the consistency of it. It helps me too, as somebody who, when I was, especially in college, I was very, very fixated on, you know, what I was getting from cross training. I had a stress fracture in my femur, a spiral stress fracture in my femur, and was out for 9 months because I actually ran on it too early and reopened it. And so for that 9 month period, I exclusively cross trained, of course, other than just walking around. And it was hard for me to try to find a way to wrap my mind around what I was getting out of what I was doing and what I should be doing to try to make it equivalent, or so that when I came back, I was better or at least fit. And that's one thing that helped me talking with a few different coaches from across the country, as well as just working through my own things. So I found that to be very useful. And actually that story in itself is actually really worth noting when we talk about cross training, because I think a lot of people think it's just supplement. It's just, you know, something to get you through. And actually mm-hmm. I think for me, that cross training was able to really move me forward in a way that I'd never yeah. done before. I came off that season and ran some incredible personal bests. Probably my best season in cross country was that season, off of only 4 weeks of actually running on the ground and 9 months wow. of floating around in the pool. So you can really make some big gains if you're cross training well, consistently and effectively. And I think it's this amalgamation of what you said, keeping your mind right when mm-hmm. you're talking about the psych aspect, finding a type of cross training that kind of jives with you and you're excited about, and then two, doing it well and executing it and knowing the purpose of what you're doing. And that makes me think about too. So let's kind of break down those types. So when, like, if we're injured, what types of cross training do you usually suggest, and how do you approach that? Like, if it is your only source of exercise at the moment because you're recovering from an injury, and we could even think of different types of injuries, but kind of walk through what you would do with an athlete. Say I've got a lower leg stress fracture. What kind of things are we going to be working through?
Yeah. Obviously, and this comes with any injury, whether you're seeing a doctor or an athletic trainer, because at some point you're not allowed to do any activity yep. at all. So once it is cleared by everyone, you know, we obviously, just like you would start small with coming back to running. We're not going to all of a sudden be, you know, going 2 hours a day immediately the first week that you're allowed back. So it definitely is a little gradual increase. Obviously you can move a little bit quicker, I think, in your, you know, when you're putting more minutes or workouts in, because it is a little bit less impactful than running. But I would still try and set up a similar structure to what like a week would be if they were back training. So like how I typically do the weeks, Monday is usually an easy day. So, you know, maybe it would be, and like whatever type of cross training we picked, if people had access to multiple different, then we wouldn't just be on the bike every day. If they enjoyed swimming and biking and rowing, you know, I would try to incorporate all of those things, because I think that's important too, to have variety. So maybe that first day is, you know, an easy bike. And then the next day is, you know, an aqua jogging workout or a swimming workout. The next day is an easy bike or an easy swim, followed by maybe a medium long effort on the bike or in the pool, followed by another workout, another easy day, and then trying to simulate a long run for a Sunday. But I would try to kind of create that structure and giving them like those specific workouts on workout days, as well as, you know, guiding them, you know, on the other days as well. Like, all right, if you are on the bike, let's try and stay within, you know, a good heart rate. I wouldn't put too much emphasis on it, but at least making sure that they are getting, you know, a quality session in. But then having some days where just like you'd go out on a run and not really focus on your pace, where you're just really kind of getting your legs moving and just kind of recovering and flushing everything out. Mm-hmm. And then obviously building minutes over time, and then it maybe advancing the workouts just like you would if you were running outside.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I would like to do.
How do you address, so on a, when we talk about easy days and workout days, if you're doing this as your only form of exercise and fitness building at the moment, how do you approach, like, let's say you're doing an individual bike session. What does that look like? Is it just kind of steady state the whole way, or are you undulating in pace or anything like that to kind of play with different things? Like, is there any way that you approach that?
There would still need to be some sort of like warm up, moderate effort, mm-hmm. you know, cool down, because just going slow on the bike for 40 minutes, you're not going to get anything out of that. So I guess giving them a percentage of what their max heart rate would be and just guiding them like within maybe, you know, whether that's 70 to 80% of their max heart rate, or obviously depends on the person, not giving them like a specific data point, like giving them a range. So at least we know that they're getting like a pretty good effort in that day, but then still having like an easy couple of minutes before and after, to make sure that, you know, they're at least getting something out of it that day.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that. What I try to do with athletes, and too with myself when I've had to do this, is do like kind of a 5 minute warm up where I'm just kind of flushing the legs out, not really thinking, just kind of moving. And like you said, avoiding the trap of falling into where, like, if you can read a magazine while you're on the bike or on the elliptical, you're not doing it right. That can be,
you need to be sweating and like getting something out of it.
That can be the first 5 minutes where you're kind of like just getting your bearings. But if you can see the words on that page and focus on them enough to actually be reading and inputting that, you're going way too slow. What I found too that's helpful, even on easy days, is to do little intervals or ladders within that, mm-hmm. even if they're not really, really intense. And what I've done instead of heart rate, because I find heart rate really hard to do person to person as well, because it varies so much from individual to individual and from day to day and from exercise to exercise. What I do is I look at RPMs, whether that's on the elliptical or on the bike, especially if it's a machine. So you can kind of see, you know, I'm cruising at maybe it's 100 RPM on the elliptical. And then my ladders are, okay, I'm going to do a minute at 100, a minute at 110, a minute at 120, and then come back down. And then maybe I'll take a rest minute at like 80 or whatever it happens to be. And then I play with that over time. And especially if you're going to be injured for a long period of time, I found it's really helpful to play with those, because you start to feel how much easier it is at the same resistance. So maybe you're pumping up resistance now, or maybe those ladders extend. Now you're getting up to 150 RPM for a minute, which seems crazy when you start. But when you're a couple weeks into it, you're like, wow, I can really, and you can start to see that fitness growing. And I think that's a good way to, for the psych aspect of it too, to keep you motivated. And to show
definitely breaks it up too.
I mean, it, like I said, you can gain a lot of fitness cross training, and a lot of it is being okay with being bored and staring at the wall. But so I think that's good for like the easy days and kind of maintenance miles and when I'm injured. So what about workouts? Are there any specific workouts? We could look at a specific type of activity. So you said biking is one that you kind of lean toward. Is there a specific biking workout that you would give to your athletes?
So obviously sometimes, like if we're in the middle of the season and someone's cross training, I'll kind of try and I'll see what we're doing. Like say we're, doing K repeats, you know, I'll try and have them supplement that on the bike. Maybe they're doing 3-minute intervals, but one workout I do really like on the bike, and it's cause it's shorter, faster stuff. You know, you do a warm up and then you start with 10 seconds hard. And then the rest of that minute is easy. And then you repeat that pretty much until you get to the full minute hard. And then you have like an easy couple minutes between, and then we'll go back to doing like maybe 8x1 minute on, 1 minute off at a pretty high RPM, obviously whatever we would choose for that specific person. But I like that, like shorter, faster stuff. But a lot of the times I'll try and figure out a way to convert whatever workout we're doing outside inside for that specific person. So they've, cause I feel like then, like if they are in season, you know, they feel like they're still doing the workout, even though they're, you know, inside, not out with the rest of their team, or even if, you know, even if they're not on a team.
I think that's a great point. I think one, it gives you that consistency and regularity, just like normal training. And two, you're training your body the same way. So if Tuesday and Thursday are normally the workout days, just simulate what you would have been doing running when you're on your cross training session, wherever that is, whether it's on the bike or it's in the pool or wherever. I think that's a good rule of thumb when we're looking at this, especially as your only activity. So if we're doing injury recovery, this is a way to go. Thinking about injury avoidance, what kind of things would trigger you to say to an athlete, hey, maybe take a couple days to cross train and let that injury go away?
I always like to, like, if something is bothering someone for longer than a day, for me, that's like a warning sign. Like, okay, let's take 2 days off now instead of having to take 2 weeks or 2 months off, you know, later down the line. So if something's bothering someone for longer than a day, I'll say, let's just take 2 days and, you know, cross train if we can, to give that bone or muscle, whatever it might be, some rest to see if it's just like a little tweak or if it's something more serious. Like after those 2 days, if you're still feeling pain, then obviously it's a more serious injury. So for days like that, especially like in the middle, like hoping that we're not going to lose a ton of time, like I would definitely give like a pretty hard workout, especially if like we're missing a workout, you know? So say if it's like someone running a half marathon and they're doing two, say we were supposed to do, you know, 2 mile repeats, you know, I'd try and supplement that on the bike, you know, whether it be 10 to 15 minute reps, however many we were supposed to do on the track, maybe more because, you know, we're trying to do more than, you know, you do need to bike more to supplement what it would be running wise, but,
No, and I agree with that. I think that's a good rule of thumb that I've used throughout my career as a coach and an athlete, is better a day or two off today than ending up losing two weeks or 2 months down the road. And I think that's particularly true when we think back to even my story about 9 months of injury, because I tried to come back too quick on a stress fracture. And I 9 months is not a good amount of time to be gone. So I totally agree. Better to take a day or two off today and flush your legs out on the bike, or convert a workout onto the bike or someplace else so that you can avoid injury. I think that reminds me of something too worth noting. When you're cross training with an injury or trying to avoid an injury, one of the key things, just like when running, is if you can feel that injury while you're doing that activity, you should probably switch activities or
right away.
Dial back the intensity, because you don't need to go make an injury worse because of your cross training. So that's just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind when you're looking at cross training for injury prevention or recovery. Let's move into the second bucket there. mm-hmm. which is the supplemental type of cross training. We talked about this a little bit with the athlete that you mentioned who was training for the 10K. And so on her doubles, she would be doing a shorter, easier session. And then for the off day, she was doing a longer session. But could you break down some ways that you use cross training for that supplemental bucket?
Yeah. So usually it's either a bike or a swim. On the longer days, and if the athlete had access to it, we could do a combination of multiple things, like whether that be 20 minutes on the rower, you know, 20 minutes on the bike, 20 minutes on the elliptical and cycling through that, or, you know, doing 10, 10, and 10 and cycling through that, which is what I have found to be a little bit more fun sometimes than just sticking on one machine for an hour. So that could be something that we would do on like the longer day, but those like second workouts of the day, those were really just like a flush. So mm-hmm. if we're biking, like I said, maybe we'll warm up a little bit, do a little bit of a moderate effort and then a cool down, but we're really not working too hard. Like you said, we're not reading a book, but we're getting some sort of effort, but it's mm-hmm. more used as a flush rather than, because usually on those days, like if someone was doubling back, it's probably only going to be a 3 to 4 mile run anyway. So it doesn't have to be this like long, intense cross training session. Mm-hmm. It's more just, all right, let's flush out the legs. You know, maybe you're going to lift afterwards. So getting a flush or warming up for the lift or flushing before the lift after a hard workout in the morning. So those would be a lot of the ways that we would supplement cross training with those athletes. And if, you know, someone really needs a day off per week and can't run on that seventh day, that would always be a cross train day, or occasionally it'd be a completely off day if they're just feeling really tired. But I often feel that sometimes people feel better even if they're just moving a little bit. So even if they're just getting a 30-minute light bike in, or they're walking, for example, or doing something to kind of keep their body moving, but not necessarily like working out too hard.
Absolutely. Oh, and I entirely agree with that. I think especially for somebody who's a little bit more injury prone, I think that's a good way to get in that cardio. So you're still getting benefit to that cardiovascular system and the respiratory system. So you can be improving your ability to handle long endurance activities, but just not have the pounding. And then on top of that too, I think it's a good way for somebody to build new mileage. So mm-hmm. if it's somebody who's newer to higher mileage, it's a good way to slowly introduce yourself to that higher mileage. And I think using some of those techniques that you said, whether it's switching the types of cross training that you're doing based on the machine, or it's even two just kind of different ways to play with what you're doing on the machine to keep you active and busy while you're doing it. That might be a good place for an offshoot too, because you've mentioned a few different strategies you use to keep the mind in the game. Because I think a lot of times it is just you're staring at a wall and you don't know what to do and you're bored out of your mind, and then you lose some of the gains that you could have got by cross-training effectively. So you've mentioned a few tools, but could you recap and touch on some of the tools that you use to keep people motivated while cross-training?
Well, one thing is you always got to get a good playlist going.
Yeah, there you go.
something to get you pumped up. But I think what you said earlier is, you know, even if it's a day where we're not getting a super big workout in, but making those intervals at, you know, whatever RPMs you choose, even mm-hmm. if they're not super intense, but at least building some sort of workout so you keep your mind interested the whole time and you get excited for the hard portions and you look forward to the easy, you know, the breaks. But and then also like if it's someone that say like an injury just popped up and they like, for example, with Rendoy and like they get their training on final surge, so they've already seen the week and what it's going to look like, but they're hurt on Monday, for example, and we're going to take a couple days off. Mm-hmm. I think definitely kind of trying to keep that schedule, like I said earlier, and just trying to, you know, create the workout on whatever mechanism we're using, whether it be a bike, elliptical, or in the pool, trying to keep the workouts relatively the same so they feel like in their mind they're still getting the workout in. And they're not losing a ton of fitness by taking those couple of days off. So keeping the structure, I think, is super important. Picking the you know, modes of cross training that person really likes. You know, if you hate doing swim workouts and mix it up and do something else, go as far as to like go to a cycle class or something like that, you're always going to get a good workout when you go to one of those. And just giving yourself some grace and allowing your body to recover. And I think if you can have a good mindset, cross training can be a great tool, but it also could be, the complete opposite if you just get sucked in,
Yeah.
As I'm sure you experienced.
Oh yeah.
In your 9 month time.
Well, it's been more than that over the course of a career, but, I think those are some good strategies though that people can implement immediately. I think one, a good playlist is always helpful. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. some of us are big sweaters and we go through headphones like it's nobody's business that way. And that was an issue for me. I think playing with the different way that you approach it, like you mentioned, doing kind of fartleks, speed play intervals, even if it's lower intensity, just something to keep your mind engaged. I think sometimes passively watching something, like if there's like something on TV that you can, like mm-hmm. a football game or something like that, or a rom-com or something that you don't really have to pay attention to, that can be helpful if you have that as an option. You mentioned switching machines. I think that's always great, just to kind of switch it up and leaning toward things that you prefer. So if you prefer bike, go jump on the bike and have some fun, or jumping into a social environment. I think that was a great, mm-hmm. that's a great point too, whether it's a spin class or something else, that can help just kind of get your mind off of being in one place. A few others that I used, while I was cross training is, some of these will sound sad, but, I used to rip out pages from National Geographic. And so I could elliptical into, so the situation I was in is the elliptical was facing against a wall and that's all I had to look at.
Yeah.
So I would have a page of the National Geographic and stick it on the wall in front of me. So I'd go run in the Sahara Desert one day and then in the jungle.
Now
the
you don't have to do that because all these fancy bikes, they have, you're legit biking through like the Smoky Mountains or, the Rocky Mountains. It's kind of crazy.
I like to pretend like I was hardcore or something.
But
then another thing I do just kind of keep my mind entertained was I would count like bricks on the wall or things like that too. That might sound weird, but it was effective for me.
That's a good point though. You have to find what's effective for you, because what is effective for one person is not going to be effective for another person. I personally could not count bricks on the wall, but but it works for you.
Yeah, kept me going. I think the other one too is just kind of recognizing the purpose of what you're doing, and that always mm-hmm. helped me get a little bit more motivated and get excited about cross training and how that fit into my broader training and how this was going to help me build towards some future something, however that was fitting in. And I think that was helpful to keep me motivated as well throughout a cycle. So I think those are some good strategies people could kind of play with to keep themselves motivated when cross training as we kind of work through these. I think the last bucket that's really worth touching on, of course, the fourth one, which is recovery, is kind of you can just do whatever you want. It's more that spinning, reading a magazine while you're biking kind of stuff or hiking. But the third one that's worth touching on again, too, is in what situations, and we touched on a few, would you use the extreme conditions bucket of cross training? And then I think it's the same examples, but just kind of give a few examples that would work.
Yeah. So definitely, like if you're in from an area that gets a lot of snow and ice, like I think if it's really icy out, like there's just, I don't know why people take chances and run on the ice. Running through snow, like fresh snow, like if you have good shoes, like one thing, but if it's like really icy out, you're just asking to wipe out. So I think those kind of conditions, obviously I would always recommend someone cross train. Again, if you're traveling and especially in another country and you're not familiar with where you're at, or, if you have access to a treadmill or, a bike or anything like that, I would always err on the side of caution and kind of be safe. And if you're there for a longer time and you kind of learn your way around, then you can kind of venture out. But definitely, and then obviously, like if you're, in a place that has hurricanes, tornadoes, bad air quality, I know people on the West Coast have been dealing with that a lot. So you're kind of forced inside. Mm-hmm. So obviously using all, the tools and the mechanisms we've been mentioning the whole time, but all those situations definitely would, I think, require some cross training.
Yeah. No, and I totally agree. And it's funny, you brought up the fires here on the West Coast, and that was something I totally forgot. But right when you said it, it was, yeah, that was a rough time and a time where you didn't want to be exercising outdoors. So, yeah, knowing a few options that you have is always good in case there is some inclement weather that's worth just getting out of, where you're going to get less out of the workout by going outside and chancing it against some sort of extreme condition, whether that's terrible smog or smoke from fires, or it's just really, really icy and you're just going to be spinning out and probably tearing a muscle. Or even too, you travel a lot for work and you're going to places that you aren't as familiar with or just don't feel good about running in. I know for me, I travel quite a bit for work to Africa, and there are parts of Africa where it's just not necessarily great to be running around outside, especially in the rural areas where people and animals interact quite a bit. And the last thing I need to do is go run into some place where I'm going to go run into something that's going to want to play with me. But yeah, no, I think that covers pretty much the whole gamut of at least an intro to cross training, how we can kind of walk through it and get to different places, how we can use it in our training. But maybe are there any other thoughts that you have on cross training that are worth highlighting to people as they look to maybe add this to their training or implement it in different ways?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people that, so in addition to that one athlete I had that kind of changed my mindset, I had another athlete when I first started at Rundoyan, and she was a middle-aged woman that was pretty against running multiple days in a row. Mm-hmm. So she only wanted to run every other day, but she wanted to train for the half marathon, but she had pretty high goals. And my first instinct is always, if you can handle this mileage that is optimal for your race, then we're going to try and do that. And then if you're someone that's injury prone, that's when we start looking at cross training. So I was just like, man, how am I going to get this woman to make her goal? Like when I just don't believe in that. You know, I think it's hard, but she worked her butt off, like on her off day, like on the off days, she was not off. Like she was working pretty hard, on the bike. She was, I think someone that used the Peloton pretty frequently. And then, you know, a couple months down the line, she hit her goal, you know, with flying colors. So I think if you're someone that is afraid to run multiple days in a row or to hit a mileage that maybe your coach is recommending, don't shy away from cross training either. Like try and kind of make that sacrifice, whether it's like getting to the gym. I know it's tough, obviously, with COVID and whatnot, but if you have access to those machines, like use them to your advantage, especially if you're someone that can't run a lot. You know, there are so many people that only want to run 20 miles a week, but they want to run marathons, but there has to be some give and take there.
Yep.
So, you know, using cross training to your advantage. And like you said, you know, you can gain a lot of fitness, you know, if you're doing, you know, if you're having quality sessions and probably the most important is that you're being consistent. Like you can't cross train one time and expect it to, you know, do anything for you. There's gotta be some consistency week to week. And whether that be building on workouts, like, you know, starting at X RPM and then months later, like you said, looking back and seeing how you progressed over those months, and whatnot. But yeah, I would just definitely recommend people to actually look into cross training if they aren't already doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I pick up on there too, that I've noticed too is a good point, is you can go pretty hard cross training in a way that you can't running. And don't be afraid to kind of push it a little bit when you're cross training. Yeah. So it's not just a little faster than being able to read on the bike. You can push into that pretty good. And part of it is because it's lower impact. And then two, your heart rate won't get as high, especially if you're seated on a like a recumbent bicycle or even the more set up like a Peloton bike. So you can really push into that. I think for me, that's where I found the biggest gains from cross training is almost treating even easy days as a little harder than an easy day and kind of pushing into them, going a little bit longer and to going fairly moderate to high intensity kind of in that.
Especially, sweet spot. Especially if you're not running at all. Like obviously if you're still training at a certain workload, you can't go too hard. because then you're really, your body's never recovering. But if right. if you're not able to run, then like you said, don't be afraid to work. Like, you're not going to hurt yourself by working too hard. Cause that's your only form of exercise anyway. It's not like you're going out and running 10 miles after you, you know, do this insane bike session.
Right. Absolutely. Well, perfect. I think, so maybe just to recap. So we started cross training. We're talking purely about the endurance based activities, those things to give you more respiratory or cardiovascular benefit as opposed to strength training or drills or something like that. Then we talked about kind of three main buckets and a fourth kind of tangential bucket, the injury side, recovery and avoidance. Then two, the second being supplemental. So building miles or just something to, if you're injury prone and you need to keep mileage up, but this is your kind of your best option, or you're just uncomfortable with running high mileage. The third being those extreme conditions, whether that's travel or inclement weather and things of that nature. And then fourth, of course, just general recovery, kind of easy stuff to kind of flush things out and kind of get your mind back in the right place. Then we talked about some of the types that you can use within that, right? So we've got biking, elliptical, the swim types, whether that's aqua jogging or actual swimming, rowing, and then two, the Alter G, if you're fortunate enough to have access to a magical floating treadmill, as some call them. And actually, too, I would add the arm bike to that. So if you have some really bad lower leg injuries, the arm bike is a way to get some cardio in. It's a pain in the butt, but it's an option. And then focusing on ways to keep yourself engaged and making sure that you keep that intensity up to a moderate level at times.
Yeah.
Heart rate may not be the best way to measure that, but keeping that intensity up so that you actually get something out of that workout and get through it. We also walk through some of those psych ways to stay motivated and stay excited. But that should round out ways in which cross training can fit into somebody's training racing plan, how they can use it to supplement their own training. But anything I missed there that we should highlight, emphasize?
I think we covered it all.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Anything
I can think of.
Any last, so do you have any favorite cross training exercises that you could give a shout out to let people try out on their own if they're looking to throw in a cross training session this week?
I've always, whenever I have assigned this workout to an athlete, they always are like, that was so hard. And I mentioned it already earlier, but the 10 second, breaking up a minute. So you would do 10 seconds hard, and then the rest of the minute easy, 15 seconds hard, the rest of the minute easy, all the way up to, you know, 60 seconds hard, 60 seconds easy. And we would go through that, like, I would, depending on the person or how long they're cross training, like two or three times, through, sometimes four. But they always come back saying that was way harder than they thought it would be.
Yeah.
But personally for me, I always loved swimming. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a great swimmer, but any swim workout I liked doing. I don't know. I always felt like aerobically, I felt pretty fit after doing swim workouts. So that would always be my preference.
Your go-to. Well, perfect. Yeah. And I like that interval session. It sounds like a perfect aqua jogging session to me. Kind of keeps your mind off the fact that you're just barely staying above the water. But
I was always terrible at aqua jogging. Like, terrible at it. I never quite got the hang of it.
I would hope most people never get good at it. You never have to do it enough to become good at it. It's a difficult activity, but it's a fun one that can kind of mix things up and is running adjacent if you can't do any impact. But yeah. Well, perfect, Michelle. I appreciate you walking us through a couple of cross training ideas, activities, and giving your experience and advice.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we'll wrap it up here on the Next Level Running Podcast. Thank you all for joining us and to making it to the end of the podcast. Once again, that was Michelle Chewins, one of the expert coaches here at Run Doyen, as we talked about cross training, some of the different types of cross training, the uses for it, and how to get the most out of your cross-training efforts. With that, we'll see you back here on the 13th for a replay of our Instagram Live event that'll come out actually right around the time this podcast comes out, and then two on the 26th of every month with a new podcast. But with that, I'll see you next time. thank you for joining us here on the Next Level Running Podcast, your source for training advice from the expert coaches at Run Doyen. If you're ready to take your training and racing to the next level, head over to RunDoyen.com and get matched to your ideal coach who will provide you with the highly customized online training you need to start crushing your goals on race day.